Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday and start of a new weekend. I don't know about you. It's getting a little iffy out that window there to the left. I don't know if I don't think you can see it through the webcam. But we've got a little bit of a storm coming in, so it's going to be an indoor weekend, I think, here. Now, first of all, I want to start off with a little bit of an explanation about yesterday, because I got a lot of email from people who didn't understand why it seemed like there was an out-of-date show on the air, and that is that I have a day job. I don't really make any money doing these radio shows, or the website for that matter. It's just barely covering its own costs. So I have a day job, and I work in film and television, and most of my work these days is industrial films, and I get to set the schedule on that because, well, I'm the director. What can I tell you? But I also do visual effects for a very popular TV show that is filmed here on the island of Oahu. It's called Lost, and yesterday I got called to the set. I wasn't expecting it. Kind of came up at the last minute. I wasn't expecting to have to do that, but I went and did it, and the show's great, and you should all tune in and watch it. And that's the reason why there was a repeat. Now, the good news, at least as far as the What Really Happened audience is concerned, is we just got done doing the season finale, so we are now on hiatus, or at least I'm on hiatus, with everybody else to follow suit in the next few days. So I will not be dealing with this reality until at least August, and maybe I won't even, you know, we'll see what happens then. So that was the reason for the recording yesterday, and we're live today and online, and the chat room is open, the webcam is running, and we're rocking and rolling and ready to go. Now, the Dow Industrials dropped 148 points today. And one of the reasons may be that investors have been looking at the soaring Dow over the last couple of days, realizing it hasn't signaled a change in the performance of the underlying companies, and they're trying to figure out what is going on, because there is this disconnect between the soaring values on the stock market and the fact that people are still losing their jobs. We found out now that the claim that new housing starts had gone up in February was actually due to this phenomenon called seasonal readjustment, which is a fancy government name for we're going to move the figures around until it says something we like. In reality, new housing starts actually dropped significantly in February. We posted that article to What Really Happened yesterday. As a matter of fact, it's something that you should take a look at. My goodness, official government reports lying and fibbing. What will you be telling us next, Mr. Rivero? So what's going on here? And I've been putting a lot of thought into it, and I think I have spotted what appears to be the biggest scam in the history of the United States about to be perpetrated on the American people. And I want you to follow me on this very closely. 2 weeks ago, I brought up this story where Bernanke was talking before the Council on Foreign Relations, and he didn't exactly explicitly say mark to market, but he dropped a hint on the CFR that the banking regulators were going to be easing the restrictions on the kinds of accounting methods that had been used, and that mentioned that there might be a little more leeway in the valuing of assets that the banks were in possession of. Okay, then last week, the Financial Accounting Standards Board very quietly put into effect new accounting practices that allow banks to value their assets at a higher price than they can actually be sold for. Okay? So, let me go over that one more time. The key feature of the mark-to-market accounting method is that you can value your assets at a higher price than what they can actually be sold for. Now, as a side note, I am now letting you all know that the What Really Happened website and radio shows are now worth $500 million. Hey, I'm a corporation. I wouldn't lie to you about this. So this is why all of a sudden the stock market is really starting to soar, because all these banks that had all these negative assets on their books, they're simply revaluing them upward. And all of a sudden, their assets exceed their liabilities, they are back into profits, at least on paper, they look good to the investors, and people are buying the stock, and that's what's been going on. Now, here is the scam part, the swindle part, because between the allowing of mark-to-market accounting and Geithner's new bailout plan, it is an open invitation for the biggest ripoff of the taxpayers, because now the banks can take their toxic assets. They can revalue them right up to the sky. They can just make up the numbers and say, well, I know that right now we couldn't sell this toxic asset for $5, but really we think in the future it's going to have a value of $25,000, $50,000. So that's its value on paper as we have declared. Mahi dictum est. So then they go out and they auction off the asset, and it goes for maybe $18.75. So now they go back to Geithner as part of this toxic asset bailout plan that we just got shoved down our throats or into another orifice. And they say, well, this asset was worth $50,000 and we only sold it for $18. So the government's got to cover that shortfall for us. And so all of a sudden, they get that $50,000 less the $18,000. All on the backs of the taxpayers. This is such a sweet deal. There is a report, it's on what really happened today. Citibank and Bank of America, who, by the way, their debt rating was downgraded to junk by Moody's just a couple of days ago. They're out there actively buying as many toxic assets as they can. They're front-loading the system because they know when this program starts, they'll be able to use mark-to-market accounting to declare the value of these toxic assets way up in the stratosphere. Then they'll dump them for pennies on the dollar, and they'll be compensated for their quote-unquote loss by the U.S. government, all on the backs of the taxpayers. I'm going to lay this all out in a chart in an article over the weekend for what really happened. But basically, in a nutshell, This is the worst scam that we have ever seen perpetrated on the American people. They're taking all of these junk assets, they're revaluing them up, they're selling them for pennies, and then sticking you, the American taxpayer, with the inflated, artificially created mark-to-market loss. Now, the other downside. For those of you who are paying attention, it was the mark-to-market accounting system that led to the overinflation and overvaluation and subsequent crash of Enron. So what this accounting practice is doing is allowing the entire banking sector to be run the way Enron was. And so what we're going to see is we're going to see the stock market led by the financial stocks. It's going to go up and it's going to look really, really good. But somewhere down the road, there's going to be a crash, and it's going to make the asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs look like a parking lot speed bump when it finally hits, because mark-to-market is based on basically legalized lying and legalized exaggeration of what your assets are worth. And as we saw with Enron, when companies are unable to sustain the cash flow that they need to support their operations, they'll revalue their assets up in order to claim that they're still profitable and solicit new investment money coming in. Folks, this is disaster written in capital letters under spotlights, bigger than the Hollywood sign up on that mountain. Disaster. And it is hanging over Wall Street, and it is, what are these people thinking? What are these people thinking? This is the biggest, biggest scam in our nation's history. And it is Wall Street and the bankers and Tim Geithner ripping off the entire American people, 300 million of you. You're all going to get it put to you with this plan. Like you have not already been, savaged enough to the tune of $40,000 for every single one of you. And now they're getting ready to do it again with this little double shuffle. And everybody's going to point to everybody else and say, oh, they're the ones who messed up. Please leave us alone. Let us keep the money we made on the deal, because really, we worked really hard and we meant well. We meant well. So we should not be punished for the fact that we now have all the money and you have nothing. And really, it's un-American to deny us our money and so forth and so on. Oh, my goodness. I just tell you, the more I think about this, the angrier I am getting. And that's not good for me on a Friday. I'm supposed to be relaxing, getting ready to spend the weekend with my lovely wife, Claire. Now, the other story, real quick, because we're almost to the end of this quarter, the end of this segment, rather. And if you'd like to join us on the air, 800-259-9231. Donovan's in the control room. He's feeling lonely and neglected, so grab that phone. And, okay, we're at the end of the segment, so we're going to take a break here. And, oh, I see why. I'm looking at the wrong clock. I thought I had another minute to go. Okay, we're here again, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Grab that phone, punch those buttons. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're kind of jumping on some stories. Now, obviously, out here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, not really the middle, we're still kind of close to North America, but we're far enough where we are an island out here. And sharing this ocean with us is the nation of Japan, who left some souvenirs a while back in this harbor, just out here to the, through my office window to the left here. Right now, Japan's government has given its military the green light to shoot down North Korea's satellite launch. And this is one of the most dangerous things that could be happening right now. It is a clear provocation. North Korea has every right to put a satellite into orbit, as any other nation does. This is a communication satellite. The United States is kicking up a huge fuss because North Korea, horror of horrors, is using an intercontinental ballistic missile that they've developed called the Taipodong 2 to launch this communication satellite into orbit. And so the United States is making a big, this is horrible. They're validating this rocket that could reach North America. Actually, they've had this rocket for quite a few years. And it is hypocritical for the United States to be making a big issue out of the fact that North Korea is putting up a communication satellite using a military missile, because the United States did exactly the same thing. We put up the Mercury spacecraft. Remember, John Glenn was put up with the Atlas, which is an ICBM. Was originally built to carry nuclear weapons. The Gemini mission used another nuclear weapon carrier, the Titan missile, which is still in use to this very day. When the Russians put up Vostok and Yuri Gagarin became the first man in space, they used the R-7 booster, which was built to carry nuclear weapons around the globe. It wasn't until France developed the Ariane and the United States developed the Saturn rocket system that we actually had rockets that weren't originally designed to carry military payloads. So this idea that North Korea is somehow being provocative by adapting a military launcher to a satellite launcher, it's nonsense. It is nonsense. It's exactly what the U.S. and Russia have done all along. You go to space with what you've got. And so this idea that Japan might shoot this rocket down, North Korea would see it as an act of war, justifiably so. And we know the U.S. government is desperate to start a war anywhere. They don't even care where anymore. Afghanistan, Pakistan, North Korea, Sudan. They don't care anymore. They just need a war so that, in the hope that they can distract you from the economy, or at least have something they can blame the crashing economy on. Oh, yes, you're starving, but there's a war on, and we've got to go fight the war, and you've got to salute the flag, and you've got to be loyal Americans, because otherwise the enemy is going to win. You know, the Cold War went away. We don't have the Soviets to blame as an enemy. The war on terror has really fizzled. It's not a credible enemy. It's not keeping us appropriately afraid and subservient. So they're trying to start a really big, really dangerous war with somebody who's going to scare Americans into just agreeing with the government, no matter how stupid the government continues to behave. So this whole thing about North Korea, what the U.S. government is doing, is the same thing they did in Iran all over again. They're taking an activity which is, on the face of it, peaceful. Iran is building a nuclear power station, which they are legally allowed to do under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which Iran and the United States have both signed. We, the United States government, have already acknowledged Iran has a right to build a power station, a nuclear power station, and to make the fuel rods for them. And that's all they're doing. But the U.S. government is trying to propagandize you into thinking that because Iran is building a nuclear power station, somehow that has to map into being a threat. Now they're doing it with North Korea. North Korea wants to put up a communication satellite. And now the U.S. government is trying to propagandize you that this represents a threat that we must deal with, that we have to go over there and just shower more money and more of our children's lives in yet another war. Because if Japan does succeed in shooting down this launcher, it's another move toward a major, major war here in the Pacific, a little bit closer to home than the Middle East, from my point of view. And the bottom line is that if they destroy this launcher when it is close to being in orbit or in orbit, we're going to have yet another cloud of debris flying around up there, slamming into other bits of space hardware. Like, we don't have enough problems from that collision of the Cosmos and the Iridium a few weeks back. It's already inconveniencing lives for a lot of people. And we're up there throwing weapons around and risking turning our near-Earth orbit into a no-satellite zone that we'll never be able to get anything through ever again, imprisoning ourselves on our own planet. There are some lunatics out there. Let North Korea have its communication satellite. The rocket they're using, the Taipodong 2, first of all, it does tend to blow up a lot. Second of all, if we were that worried about it, why did the Loral Corporation give China technology to make the Taipodong 2 more reliable and more accurate back when Clinton was in the White House? We have this sad habit of giving technology to countries and then 5, 10, 20 years down the road saying, oh my goodness, look at the technology they have, we must go to war on them. We did it in Iraq. We sold Saddam his germ warfare. We gave him the money to build Gerald Bull's super gun. And then we turn around and say, oh, look, what a militant, warmongering country they've become. We have to go in and attack them. We do this over and over again. We give guns to somebody, then we invade them to take the guns back. You paid to give them the guns. You paid to invade to take the guns back. Your children catch the bullets and pay the ultimate price. They just do it over and over again. And they're so desperate for a war right now. They're so desperate. They're going to do anything to get one going. They need a really big war. It's either that or the U.S. government's going to go out of business. It's really down to that kind of a choice from their point of view. Because if they don't get a war, somewhere down the road, they're going to have to declare default and say, we're out of business, and they're going to collapse like the USSR. Folks, the U.S. government is dying. And unfortunately, in its death throes, it is just going to lash out at anybody nearby on an instinctive desire to throw the problems onto somebody else and to save itself. Doesn't matter who they have to sacrifice. You, your financial future, they're already doing that. Your children's lives, that's already happening by the thousands. The state always puts its own survival as the highest priority over everything else. Over everything else. And you better wake up and realize that, because it's going to get really, really ugly. Now, on that same topic here, and I've got 30 seconds here left, the Missouri Department of Public Safety has officially retracted their little profiling memo that linked libertarian activists and Christians and constitutionalists, that's me, supporters of Ron Paul, that's me also, and other conservative groups to militias. It's too late. They can pull the report back, but they've revealed their mindset. They've revealed how they think about us and how they view patriotic Americans. That's not going to go away. They can't retract that. They'll publicly say, oh, no, we don't believe that anymore. But privately, of course, they're going to continue operating on the same. The cat's out of the bag. We know what they think of patriotic constitutional Americans. We're going to be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm watching the chat room. People are talking about all the stuff we're talking about here on the air. I'm getting some email from listeners and some of the commentary about this potential Japanese intercept of the Korean satellite. There are a lot of people who are of the opinion that the Japanese can't actually hit something traveling that fast and that high. And, of course, this is kind of a gray area because, in theory, the United States and Japan, among others, have not developed a capability to intercept incoming ballistic missiles because of the ABM treaty. We know, of course, that George Bush walked away from that treaty and is developing an anti-ballistic missile capability. But what is lesser known is that at the time when the Aegis CEC system was being developed and tested with disastrous consequences in New York, that it was rumored at the time that Aegis was being modified to allow for the intercept of incoming ballistic targets. Even though it defied the treaty, it was in kind of a gray area. Now, Japan has three Aegis ships sitting there waiting for this thing to come over. So whether or not it could hit it or not, we don't know. Now, another story just coming out now from the Japanese media is an attempt to clarify what Japan has said. Japan is now saying that they're only going to fire on the North Korean satellite if, in fact, there is a mishap and it looks like it's coming down onto Japanese territory, which does sound a little bit more reasonable. Now, the problem I have with this is the same thing that we had with Saddam's missiles coming toward Israel, and we had our little Patriot launchers there at U.S. taxpayer expense trying to shoot them down. And yes, they hit the incoming Scud missiles and broke it into pieces, which still came down all over the target area. And so I'm not sure how useful it would be. Really, destroying these incoming missiles or destroying the North Korean satellite really only makes sense if you know for a fact that it's carrying like a nuclear bomb or something like that that you need to keep from going off. Otherwise, given the velocity and everything involved, are you not better letting it come down in one piece as opposed to turning it into a huge dispersed cloud of shotgun-like shrapnel? So we'll see what happens. But it appears that the Japanese are kind of backing away from this confrontational attitude, and thank goodness for that. They're now saying they're only going to fire on it if something has gone wrong and it comes down over Japan itself. And so cooler heads have prevailed, and we can back off from that one. It wasn't what they were saying originally, but it's what they're saying right now. Now, another situation that is really very alarming and a little bit arrogant, I think, California may pass a law giving the state the authority to tell you what color you can and cannot paint your car. And the idea is, in order to save energy, that they're going to ban dark colors on your car, especially black. The idea being that if you have a dark color on the car that absorbs more sunlight, then you need more air conditioning in the summer to keep the car cool. Therefore, you're burning up more gas and you're putting out more carbon and so forth and so on. Now, I understand the science. I understand the science behind that. If you go and you look at Middle Eastern countries, every car over there is either white or light beige or light tan. Or light sky blue, because they understand dark colors, the car will get much hotter in that sun. I understand the science. But I think this law is a bad one, because there's always going to be a reason the government's going to justify to itself that we need to tell you what to do for your own good. We need to tell you what color your car is going to be. We need to tell you when you can use your air conditioning. We need to tell you what temperature you should set your home for. We need to tell you what clothes you need to wear and when. There's no end to it. It's incrementalism. The government is always going to have another reason to create another agency to come into your life and tell you how to live your life, what gods to pray to, what foods you should eat. It's never going to stop. Governments always expand until the population has had enough and said, to heck with it. Punches them in the nose, and the revolution is on. So I think it is an extraordinarily absurd situation for California to be trying to pass this law. I think anybody with any common sense knows in California or any other hot climate, you buy a lighter colored car. And if they want a black car for a personal expression of their own personality and vanity and ego, that's covered by the First Amendment, in my opinion. If they want to pay the extra money for the air conditioning, let them. And, I mean, if you're driving a car that is bright red or orange, you are more likely to get pulled over by a traffic cop who will see you stick out from the background of cars and be paying more attention to you as you whiz by, and they'll put the radar gun on you. But there's nobody seriously proposing passing a law saying you can't paint your car bright candy apple red or day glow orange or Stearman vermilion because it's going to unfairly influence the law enforcement. It doesn't really make sense. People should be allowed to put on whatever color on their car they want. That's personal freedom. It's personal expression. So I think it's a really, really silly, stupid law. Now, real quick here, we're watching the video coming out of Fargo, North Dakota, and we're seeing this terrible flooding situation that they're in. And once again, we are hearing that the flood control, the levees, which have been sorely neglected because the money had to go to the war in Iraq, or to Wall Street, or to Israel. And the infrastructure, the flood control along this river has been neglected. It is now cracking. And they are concerned, understandably, that these levees might fail and result in catastrophic flooding of Americans' homes again. Folks, how many times do we have to go through this? How many times do we have to go through these tremendous natural disasters, and find out after the fact that all of the infrastructure and mechanisms that were supposed to be there, that we thought we were buying with our tax money, aren't there, aren't being maintained. Maintenance was deferred. Yes, there were plans to take care of this and reduce this problem, but they had to be put on hold because the money wasn't there. You know, we're getting into this situation where the government is just taking more and more money from our taxes. They're not doing the job of taking care of the American people that they're supposed to. Now they're trying to force young people to volunteer, in direct violation of the 13th Amendment, to go out and start repairing the infrastructure that we've already paid for the government to repair. I mean, if you think about it, the government takes our tax money and then forces people to go out and do the work. I mean, that's kind of like double dipping. I mean, if we're going to fix our own country, if we're going to take care of ourselves, then what is the good of having that government if all they do is take money and make war and shovel the money at their cronies on Wall Street? What good is the government? What is it doing? Is it funding our operating rooms? Is it making better schools? Is it keeping the floodwaters under control, inspecting the bridges, getting rid of the dry brush? No. They want people. National Service Act, we're going to make the people take care of all of that stuff for themselves. The government's making itself irrelevant. It's not necessary anymore. It's just taking money and divvying it up among themselves and spending it on war and spending it on Israel. And they're not doing anything for we, the people, that materially improves and protects our life. They're useless. They're useless to us. Absolutely useless. And this proves it. It just goes on and on and on. Now, speaking of useless, oh yeah, quick story. The Iowa prosecutors have agreed to delay the agriprocessor's trial. This, as you know, is the kosher meatpacking plant that was being used. There was immigration violations, child labor law violations. They found a meth lab on the premises. And they're delaying the trial. It's like the AIPAC spy trial. It's just going to get dragged on forever until everybody's forgotten about it. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. We've got a caller on the line. We're going to get to him just as soon as we get back from this break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to Doug in Texas. Aloha, Doug. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, aloha to you too, Mike. Hey, have you heard anything I found on the web recently regarding the fact that this Bernie Madoff character was a former Israeli Mossad agent, and he was funneling billions of dollars over to Israel's spy agencies and all that?
Well, I've been hearing rumors about that. I haven't heard a confirmation that he's actually in the Mossad. But one thing we do know for sure is that the proceeds from his little pyramid operation were going to many Jewish charitable organizations or foundations or activist groups, which in turn were running the money through AIPAC and using it to basically buy the Congress out from under the American people. And so Bernie appears to be, along with this Stanford group, I think, is starting to get exposed on this as well. Bernie Madoff appears to have been the funding mechanism for the subversion of the U.S. government to Israel's agenda. And I think that's one of the reasons why he just went in and pled guilty to everything and said, send me to jail, and so forth and so on, because they don't want a public trial, they don't want any investigation, they don't want any public inquiry, because obviously a lot of other people are involved in this thing. And, you know, if it does link back to Israeli intelligence, you know, we're fast approaching the point where there's going to be one embarrassment too many, and the American people are just going to say, okay, enough, and they're just going to throw out every politician who's got a link to Israel, which right now is most of them.
Yeah, we can only hope something like that would happen. Most of the Americans here are kind of brain dead, but thank God there's some of us who care.
Well, you know, more and more people are coming on board that caring situation. We see it every day in the numbers for the corporate mainstream media. They're losing their viewership. They're having to shut down newspapers. Meanwhile, the numbers here in the alternative media and the blogosphere is going up, 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 up. And we're starting to see outright panic on the part of the government and the corporate media. I mean, the corporate media is asking for a bailout now. You know, we'll be such a loss to America if we don't have the TV networks and the newspapers in front of them. It'll be a threat to national security. And so they've gone to the government. They want a bailout of taxpayer money. You know, it's not that, you know, it's a loss to security. The reason you're losing your audience is not because of the blogs and the alternative media. It's because you lied to us, and we caught you lying to us.
Right.
When George Bush got up there and said Saddam has nuclear bombs, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, all of them stood up there right next to him and said, oh, yes, it's a serious situation. Saddam has nuclear weapons. And the signs that of lie and deception were there to be reported on, and the major networks and the major newspapers refused to deal with it. I and a thousand of other bloggers, we went to our local media and we said, look, here is the proof the government is exaggerating the situation. Oh, I can't touch that. I'll lose my job if I'm even seen with that. And we heard that all across the country. And guess what? Now they're paying the price for having lied to the American people and having been caught lying to the American people. And they're trying to find out some way they can get their audience back. And they're desperate. They're desperate to shut down the alternative media any way that they can. We had earlier in the week, the Rockefellers were saying that the Internet is the biggest threat to national security they've ever seen. They're trying to make it look like foreign terrorist threat. But what's really going on is if the government and the corporate media cannot effectively lie to the people anymore, they can't rule us. They can't trick us. They can't control us. That's why I keep saying the revolution, this next revolution, is not going to be fought with guns. It's going to be fought. It is being fought right now with keyboards. Don't have to talk about when the revolution's going to start. It's happening right now. You're part of it just by listening to this show.
Great.
Good. I'm glad you like it. It's a thank bit you. Of an adrenaline rush, isn't it? All right. Well, listen, thanks an awful lot for the call, and please call in again and tell all your friends about the show and get them on board here because, yeah, the trend is obvious. The trend is my friend. And, yeah, I think we're going to see a transition to the, whatever the U.S. is going to become. It's hopefully going to be done peacefully and without bloodshed. Time alone will solve that mystery. So moving right along here, and we talked about, let's see, we mentioned briefly the Czech government had collapsed, and that's making everybody nervous. Oh, could happen here, could happen here. Let's see, last story, real quick here. Now, everyone is worried about this new law that Barack Obama is pushing for. It's this new international copyright law. It is being discussed in total secrecy. The public is not allowed. The media is not allowed. The obvious conclusion is whatever they're planning on doing is not something ordinary people are going to like. We are already hearing, we saw news reports, I've got one of them linked up at whatreallyhappened.com, that they're going to take our little TSA people at the airports who, having not actually found very many real terrorists, and having allowed about half of the practice bombs get through anyway, they're being given a new job. They are now going to be given the power to search randomly personal computers, laptops, MP3 players, your iPhone, your chocolate, your whatever it is. They're going to be searching it for pirate copies of music, and they'll just have the authority to confiscate anything they think is an illegal copy of music. Now, my question for this one is, and I'm opposed to this for a lot of reasons. Firstly, because we have got reams and reams of stories of government agents getting into computers and taking information they have no right to and profiting from it, whether they go to their stockbroker or they turn around and they sell it to competitors or whatever, happens all the time. We need protection from that. We need protection from the fact that the people who are working for TSA are as likely to be criminals as anybody else, and there are no checks and balances. The other question that comes to mind is, if they're scanning your machine for these kinds of files, and knowing that TSA doesn't hire the best and the brightest because they don't pay well enough, then how do they know what is a legal song versus what is an illegal song? Is there some kind of embedded tagging on the songs you download from iTunes? And if so, how do they know that you just didn't take a legally owned music CD and just copy it onto the MP3 player? That's a very gray area of whether that represents a legal file copy or not. I know that the Recording Industry of Association of America is trying to say that you're not allowed to copy music from your CD onto your portable listening device, which I think is way over the top here. But how do they know what is legal? How do they know what is not legal? How do they know they won't be making mistakes and erasing legally owned files? I mean, the digital rights management is a total disaster. I used to be a big fan of Microsoft Flight Simulator. My wife bought me a copy of Flight Simulator X because she knows I love flight simulators, and I really do. It's the only game I play on this thing. And I put it on my computer, and it kept delicensing itself. And I go to Microsoft, and you know what a pain it is for them to deal with? And I said, yes, it's a known problem. It will delicense itself. And I reinstall, and I do this. Finally, I just, you know, I still have the discs. I can prove I had them. I don't play it anymore. And if a big-ticket program like that can't tell if it's legal or not, how are these airport bozos going through your laptop and your iPhone, how are they going to know what's legal and what isn't legal with any degree of accuracy at all? It's just nonsense. Meanwhile, got an idea. For all you real terrorists out there, buy a cheap MP3 player, download a bunch of pirated music, put it on there, and just leave it in the boarding area of your flight. And then watch who picks it up and puts it in their pocket, and then get in line behind them. And the TSA are going to be so orgasmic that they found an MP3 player full of pirated music that they're going to ignore you while you walk that Scud missile onto the airplane behind them. Okay? So, you know, good planning, good thinking about keeping us all safe. Keeping us safe from the dangers of pirated music. You know, at a time when there is so much else going wrong with the world, and this is their priority. Okay, we've got a caller on the line, and I'm sorry, Wayne, we're almost out of time here, but real quick, Wayne, what's on your mind?
Yeah, it's kind of off topic, but you're aware of the George Galloway situation in Canada, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. That's shameful. Shameful
absolutely.
That they did
There's
that.
A big action going on right now. There's a website that has just gone up recently. It's called www.defendfreespeech.ca, trying to get people involved to contact their members of parliament, et cetera, and the federal ministers to start taking back our freedom of speech here in Canada. I'm just urging all of your Canadian listeners to do that. I want them also to check into the story of Splitting the Sky. He's the man who tried to arrest George Bush on March 17th in Calgary.
Okay, I think I saw that one. Listen, Wayne, could you do me a favor? Could you call into my later show in the evening, you know, on the other network?
I'll certainly
and I'll give you a lot more time on this one. Meanwhile, we'll link to this website from whatreallyhappened.com. I'm sorry I ran out the clock on you, and I feel really bad about that. All right, that's the end of our show today. We're going to be back tomorrow morning here on GCN at 11 a.m. We are going to have a guest we're talking to in Israel about this whole Tristan situation, the guy who got shot with the tear gas canister. So until tomorrow morning, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, a lot of road rage out there right now, and aloha, America.